Amen. Okay, so Revelation chapter 2, one of those two chapters, chapter 3 with the letters to the churches there. We're going to look from verse 8 in Revelation 2. So let's look at verse 8 again. We're looking for that, you know, for that message to the church in Smyrna, where it says in verse 8, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." And the title of my sermon this morning is The Synagogue of Satan. The Synagogue of Satan. I'd like to pray before we continue. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this, well, for this truth that's just so clear in the word, Lord, in your word here, that just who the synagogue of Satan is, who they aren't, who Jews are, who they're not. Just help me to just preach this just clearly and accurately and boldly this morning, Lord. Help everyone to just come, you know, listen without, you know, sort of preconceived ideas. Just listen to what your word's saying, Lord, to just take in what the word of God says, not what the word of man says. Help everyone to just really, really pay attention to the message, Lord. Help me to preach it clearly. In Jesus' name, pray all this. Amen. Okay, so what's going on here in Revelation chapter 2? Well, the Apostle John is writing to these seven churches in Asia. Here he's relaying what was said to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. He started with the church at Ephesus. Now, these are current churches. There's a lot of kind of false teaching out there about it being church ages and all this weird stuff. Well, let's just take it for what it says. He's writing letters to these churches. He starts with the church at Ephesus. He commended them for exposing the false apostles, among other things. He warns them not to stop the first works, which is soul winning. And then he moves on to this church in Smyrna, which is on the western coastline of what's now Turkey. It says in verse 8, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." So that's the Lord Jesus Christ, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, God in the flesh, isn't it? Yeah. He said in verse 9, "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." So Jesus Christ sends this message of encouragement to this church in Smyrna, isn't he? He's saying, "Don't worry, I see what you're doing, okay? I see what you're going through. Yeah, I see you scraping by whilst other people are trying to rip you off at every angle. I see those high taxes, those green tax scams." I'm sure there's probably some version of that then, wasn't there? The monopolisation of essential trade along with then price fixing as well. That's what we've probably seen throughout history, haven't we? That sort of thing. He's saying, "But don't worry, you're rich because I am thy exceeding great reward." Like I said to Abraham, we looked at that in Genesis chapter 15. Why? Because you have eternal life. Okay, you have eternal life. You have what money can't buy. Yeah, you are rich. He said in verse 9, "I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." Who's he talking about? Were there people out there pretending to be Jews? And now this would depend on your definition of a Jew. See, the Zionists sort of ask no questions, ignore the Bible types out there, and there's a lot of them out there. On the few occasions that they might skim read this verse or possibly even hear it preached, I'd be amazed. I was at a church once where they got to this verse in these Revelation series and then just skimmed over it and just completely ignored it. Well, they'll see this and then they'll probably, I'm guessing, start picturing people maybe dressing up as Jews. In their eyes, maybe wearing a yarmulke or top hat, going, "Oh, those frauds out there, they're really trying to rumble us," you know, growing their sideburns out, but really they're fakes, yeah? Maybe that's what they picture. But Jesus said here that they say they are Jews, didn't he, yeah? And are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So we're going to turn to Romans chapter 2 to see what a Jew is and isn't at this point in history. Over 60 years, by the way, now after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Because we're in the New Testament, aren't we? Anyone wonder if we're in the New or Old Testament? No, we're in the New Testament. Things change. There is no longer a physical nation of God. Okay, that's clear as day. Let's have a look in verse 28 of Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 28 says, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." So circumcision and any other outward signs don't make someone a Jew. Okay, long curly sideburns
don't make someone a Jew in God's eyes. Okay, assorted bizarre hats, and I don't know if it's a hat for each occasion or they all just choose their own one. Okay, whatever, however bizarre it is, doesn't make you a Jew in God's eyes. Okay, weird long black coats, yeah, which they all seem to have these matching coats. Okay, they don't make you a Jew in God's eyes. And in case you're wondering, why has he got this on his mind right now? Because I've been working on a new church building in Southend, and I keep seeing these guys everywhere. Okay, there's a lot up the road from there. It says in verse 29, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. So a Jew is one inwardly, right? Circumcision is of the heart. Now the Zionists would probably say, well perhaps that's the guy with all that clobber on, okay, but deep down they love the Torah. You just can't tell which one's, you know, really Jew, you know? Or maybe you turn to Philippians chapter 3, maybe it's the ones that don't do all the fancy dress stuff, but genuinely they just really love other Jews, yeah? Whilst hating the Goyim and all of that stuff. No, Philippians chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 3. Paul writing to the saints or believers in Philippi, which was northeastern Greece, yeah? Okay, this isn't like a letter to a load of Jews. Well, at least the Jews, as the world would call them. It says, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in who? Christ Jesus. And have no confidence in the flesh. It's believers which are now Jews, okay? Believers. Believers who trust in Christ, not in their own works, that don't have confidence in the flesh, that have confidence in what Jesus Christ did, the finished work of Jesus Christ, okay? They're the circumcision, which you could argue, you could half agree with the repent of your sins preachers, because no, they're not spiritual Israel, because they've got confidence in the flesh. Yeah, no, they're not. They're going, we are not the Jews. Yeah, you're right, you're not. You're not, buddy. Yeah, you have confidence in the flesh. You're not a Jew in God's eyes. But if you've got your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, according to the word of God, you are the circumcision. Amen. Okay? You are spiritual Israel. You are a Jew in God's eyes. Turn to Romans chapter 9, which makes it so clear that there is no Jew genealogy anymore. It's a sham. It's a fraud. Okay? Endless genealogies. It's a load of nonsense. But, however, this is a rare message, believe me. In this nation, this is probably the only church which is going to preach this message. Okay? And when I say, in fact, this is probably the only church, if you included most of the fake churches around, that would preach this message. Why? It's ridiculous. Because look at what the Bible, let's look at what the Bible says. Romans 9 and verse 6 says, not as though the word of God had taken none effect. This is Romans 9, 6. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Oh, so it's long as they can trace back to Isaac. Is that what it's about? No, it's not about what flesh you are. It's about the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. He said that is, in verse 8, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Let's just confirm who the children of promise are. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. We're looking for the children of promise. Galatians chapter 4, you're turning to. And while you turn there, I'll read Galatians 3:7, which says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. It's believers, it's the saved. Galatians 4:28 is Paul writing to the churches in Galatia, like in Galatians 3. So this would be southern Turkey now. And he said, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. That's believers, that's us. Okay, that's clear as day, isn't it? Galatians 3:26, while you're in Galatians, says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If you've got your faith in Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. Okay? You are the child of promise. You are spiritual Israel. Okay? You have replaced them. Or at least you have been grafted into them, and those believers of them you have joined as God's holy nation. So the real Jews are us, the believer, those who have faith in Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, paying for all their past, present, and future sins, right? We're now the children of Abraham by promise. Turn to Ephesians 2. So what about all of those that were physical Jews then? What about those guys? Or at least physical Israel to some degree? Well, they were also able to be Jews in God's eyes. Because you're like, oh, you know, these poor things. Look, they had every opportunity. In fact, they continue to have that opportunity if they're still able. But it's in exactly the same way. It's the same way that we are Jews in God's eyes. Ephesians 2 is Paul writing to believers in Ephesus, now Western Turkey. And he says this in verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Okay, he's talking to these believers who are majority Gentile here. Who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in this world, in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. And has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Okay, one nation now, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. Everyone got preached the same thing. There's only one way of salvation. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. It's only through Jesus Christ. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We've all become one nation, but it's only those that believe. With the Holy Spirit no longer in a physical temple, but within believers who make up this now spiritual nation of Jews. Okay, that's how it is now. So back in Revelation 2:9. Jesus Christ is talking to real Jews, believers in Smyrna. And he said, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So we've just discovered who the real Jews are. Okay? Okay, that's believers. That's people with faith. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter whether you were physically a Jew, whether you were physically of Abraham, or whether you were from the furthest corner of the world. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are now that middle wall, that wall of partition to be broken down. You're all now one, this nation, this spiritual nation, what you would call now Jews. Yeah? What God would look down and see Jews. So who are then, who are these who are saying they are Jews but are not? Who was it that was saying they were Jews but hadn't put their faith in Jesus Christ? Is it a tough one? It's not a tough one, is it? It shouldn't be a tough one. So there were some people that were claiming to be Jews, claiming God the Father, but denying God the Son. Turn to 1 John 2. Do you know who it was? It was those Christ-rejecting physical Jews. That's who he's talking about here. Christ rejecting physical Jews. People that were claiming to be Jew based on their bloodline, but hadn't put their faith in Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21, sorry, verse 21 says, I have not written unto you because ye know the truth. 1 John 2 and verse 21. I have not written unto you because ye know the truth, but because ye know it. Because you not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So it doesn't matter whether the lie comes in a book calling itself a Scofield Reference Bible, okay, that's been a big part of it, or if it's coming straight out of a so-called pastor's mouth, however nice and friendly he might be, and however learned he might sound, it's a lie, okay? Christian Zionism is a lie, okay? It's a big, fat lie as well, okay? It's straight out of the pit of hell. It really is. It's wicked. It's an absolute lie. It's a massive fraud. And it's not even a fraud that's hard to disprove from the Bible. It's just an open fraud. And do you know where it comes from? It's the same people that deny Jesus, that hate Jesus, that blaspheme him. He said, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So you hear that, yeah? They don't have the Father, do they? If they deny the Son, they do not have the Father. Hear that? The Jews are God's chosen people. Absolute just idiots out there. It's so foolish, isn't it? No, they don't have the Father because they don't have the Son. The Jews will automatically get saved. I've got to say, that's damnable, Harris, because it's another gospel, isn't it? If you really believe that, you really deep down believe that someone's just going to automatically get saved because of who they are, and it's got nothing to do with putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, no, they're automatically then going to put their faith. What are you talking about? It's whosoever will. It's nonsense. It's complete nonsense. Yeah, they don't have the Father because they don't have the Son. The people that claim the Jews just worship the Father and not the Son. That's a complete lie. Because if they don't have the Son, they don't have the Father. They're not worshipping the Father. They're worshipping a false God. What the people call Jews today have not the Father. But you know, it's worse than that. Okay, it's worse. It's not just that they don't have the Father like every other false religion out there. These people claiming there's a Christ to come and then deny that it's Jesus are antichrist. Okay, they're against him. They're the adversary. They're a lying adversary. That's what they are. They're liars and they're a lying adversary. They're antichrist. That's why Revelation 2:9 calls them the synagogue of Satan. He said, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. That's how bad it is. It just beggars belief. Because I'm talking about saved people out there as well. I'm talking about churches which seem to have the gospel right. A lot of these churches still have just been completely hoodwinked by this. We're now nearly 2,000 years on from them, by the way. When this was written, okay? Nearly 2,000 years on from Paul telling Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Nearly 2,000 years on from Paul telling Titus in Titus 3:9, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strives about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Avoid them. Don't give heed to them. And you've got self-professing Bible believers around the world calling these Christ-rejecting, blasphemous devils God's people. God's nation. The Jews. But Jesus Christ called them the synagogue of Satan. I mean, how opposite would you have to be? How contradictory to what Jesus Christ said are these people who come out with this stuff? How unbiblical. How Bible denying. Isn't that Bible denying, isn't it? You come out with that stuff, you are denying the Bible. Now, you come to me and you go, look, I admit, yeah, I thought that because I don't know the Bible. Okay, yeah, fair enough. Now you know what the Bible says, right? So you've got no excuse. But these people claim to teach the Bible. How do you teach that and how, what do you do with all these verses? But it's not just Bible denying, it's not just unbiblical. How blasphemous is this Zionist doctrine in all its forms? It's absolute blasphemy, isn't it? These wicked people. Turn to 2 Chronicles 19. You say, well, why does it matter? Why does it really matter? They're a bit off about these things. What difference does it make to you, brother? And what difference does it make to Christianity? So they just think the Jews are, you know, still God's chosen people. What difference does that make? I'll tell you what difference it makes. Wrath upon you from God. Wrath upon you from God. 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 2. Jehoshaphat is confronted after helping Ahab, the wicked king of Israel. And it says in 2 Chronicles 92, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Wow. And look, I've been around these people. They pray for the synagogue of Satan. You know that. These people, I've been in these churches, they pray for the synagogue of Satan. They send money to the synagogue of Satan. They learn at the feet of the synagogue of Satan prophets of Baal, i.e. like rabbi this and that will cast light on the Old Testament for us. Rabbi, so I mean, some of these places will even invite these clowns into their church. synagogue of Satan, false prophets. They con their congregants into doing the same, though. That's how wicked it is. Because there are probably well-meaning saved people around this world that are sending money off to the synagogue of Satan. They're helping the ungodly. They're loving them that hate the Lord. Therefore is wrath upon them from before the Lord. You go, oh, well, they were conned into it. I'm sure they'll be all right. No, we all have responsibility, don't we? Does anyone not have the Bible? Does anyone not have access to the Bible here? You've got access to the Word of God. You don't have an excuse. You're saved. You can understand it. In fact, you can understand it, truthfully, probably more than most of these pastors out there. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit, you can read the Word of God and read through the New Testament clear as day. You read through it once and you're thinking, wait a second, this doesn't add up, does it? This doesn't make sense. Who are these Jews that say they're not but the synagogue of Satan? Wait a second, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit and not in the and have no confidence in the flesh. Well, wait a second, what's going on here? Tell you what's going on here. People have been conned around the world by this. Absolutely conned, but they don't really have an excuse. All they should be doing is reading their Bible. If you read the Bible and you're saved, could you come out with that nonsense? No. Do you know why they come out with that nonsense? Because instead of reading the Bible, they read commentaries. They read study Bibles by wicked Zionist heretics. Okay? And they've been conned. He said, therefore is wrath upon them from before the Lord. But here's another thing. It's not just the wrath. It's not just that God's so angry with people helping these people, loving these God-haters, praying for them, sending them money. I mean, what an absolute joke it is, right? So how inside out and upside down is it in sadly most churches around? Well, there's also another problem, is that these Christians are then completely blinded to the enemy too. They don't even understand they are the enemy. So whereas the Bible believing Christians' eyes are open, he knows his enemy, these guys, they just don't have a clue. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Bible believing Christian who believes and reads the Bible, he's not wasting years of his life obsessing over the Punch and Judy politics shows. Because he knows who's there influencing it all and who the big money men are. And thinking, wait a second, who the media are who are touting these clowns in the first place? The Bible-believing Christian is not expecting anything wholesome to come out of the synagogue of Satan's movie industry, is he? He's not watching and just go, I just can't work out why it's all so wicked. I'll just keep watching and one day I'll find a godly movie. No, because they run it all. He's not shoving his kids in front of Disney movies. And go, I just can't work out why they just seem to be really weird, my kids. How about because you're shoving them in front of the synagogue of Satan's Disney Corporation, because Walt Disney's a thing of the past. It's now, who knows who, getting involved with that. I'll tell you who. It's the same people. It's all the same people. He's not expecting anything nice to come out of the synagogue of Satan's music industry, because it's all the same people. It's all the same people with the money men, the people behind it all. And if you know your enemy, you know, wait a second, I need to avoid that stuff. Because that stuff will poison you quicker than most poisons out there, won't it? I mean, it's absolutely wicked. But if you're not aware of it, you must be a conspiracy theorist. No, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says they're the synagogue of Satan. And the Bible says that basically these people are our enemy. They're our adversary. And these people are at the top of all these mass influential companies and industries in this world. But if you know the Word of God and you see it, you should at least be able to guard yourself and your family a bit better, right? And not just the wrath that's on us. In 1 Thessalonians 2 here, Paul appreciates that the Thessalonians received the Word of God like they should. Okay, now, if you're going, oh, look, I think you're going a bit far, Brother Ian, here. Now, what some people do, they go, oh, wait a second, do-do-do-do, this sounds like racism, yeah? No, because they're not a race. They're a religion, and a wicked, false religion at that. Okay, these people aren't a race. Now, yes, some of them claim to adopt the religion based on their mother, but like many people in the world, adopt Catholicism based on their mother being a Catholic. Like many adopt some other religion, it's still not a race. And by the way, you could convert to Judaism. Okay, do you know what it is? I'm anti that religion, though. That is a wicked religion. Do you know what that religion is? It's a satanic religion. It's the synagogue of Satan. And this is what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2. He appreciated that they received the Word of God, okay? This is what he said. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. He's going, look, I'm glad that you didn't just think, oh, well, this is just men talking. No, you knew it was the word of God, right? And everyone here knows this is the word of God. And what's the word of God says? For ye, brethren, became followers of the church of God which in Judea in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So he's making it clear here, right, that they've suffered of them, okay? And when we say the Jews, this is obviously as they're known as, not in God's eyes as we've just seen, okay? However, verse 15, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Wow. According to Paul, they're guilty of persecution, they please not God, they're contrary to all men, they hinder the gospel, they're due God's wrath. The title this morning is The Synagogue of Satan. Point number one, the synagogue of Satan persecute the brethren. Okay, this hasn't changed throughout history. The synagogue of Satan persecute believers. Verse 15 said, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. Okay, no, it wasn't the Romans. It was the synagogue of Satan that arrested, falsely accused and demanded his crucifixion. Okay, that's the reality of it. Do you remember when that horrible movie, The Passion of Christ, came out? And they're all turning on Mel Gibson and all saying it was anti-Semitic, you know, because it was loosely Bible-based. I mean, it didn't even go anywhere near as far as it should have been. It should have gone, right? But it's basically because there was all these just brainwashed, never read the Bible in their life Christians out there who were like, yeah, the Romans killed Jesus, man, yeah, because that's what the Jewish movies have been telling them for years and every other kind of, you know, ways of influencing them. But no, Mel Gibson actually showed what the Bible shows them, screaming, crucify him! And they had some funny caricatures of people doing it, right? Okay, and they're just, I can't believe this. But that's what the Bible says happened. They delivered him unto Pilate. They set up false witnesses. They begged for him to be killed, and they begged for the release of Barabbas instead. That's the truth of it. But he said, but it wasn't just that. It didn't stop there. The apostles were arrested, threatened, beaten, killed, stalked, lied about. And that continues, by the way, to this day. Turn to Acts 6, where we see the great man of God, Stephen, okay, persecuted right at the beginning of the first church in Jerusalem. Okay, so you got this first church. Obviously, Jesus Christ has been crucified. They've got it together. They're getting loads of people saved. They're building massively. Stephen's this great man of God. And it says in verse 8 of Acts 6, Acts 6 and verse 8, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. So what do? They just go, yeah, fair enough. You know, this guy must know what he's talking about. No, verse 11, then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people. And this is a common theme in the book of Acts. And the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against his holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. Okay, liars, right? But is that much different now with their slanderous news media? Slandering people, slandering men of God. The local media does that a lot as well. Just slandering people, slandering Christianity. Their hate speech nonsense. Just slandering basically the word of God, saying that what we do, what we preach, that preaching this message is somehow hateful from preaching the word of God. Somehow God is hateful. And look, there is some hate in the Bible, right? Okay, but you know what? It's hating the right people. It's hating the people that hate God, okay? But they'll come out with that sort of stuff. They're false education systems as well. Okay, so what's it ultimately doing? What's the massive push and drive for big bangs and all that sort of ridiculousness? It's just basically trying to discredit God. It's trying to discredit the Bible. It's hateful. In fact, that's what's hateful, isn't it? It's just hating on God. All these atheists hate God. They always hate the God of the Bible. And this stuff is pushed and promoted through all these education systems. I remember reading a while back when that paedophile Jeffrey Epstein got arrested and everything else, that in fact he had his number one, the highest, what they call philanthropy, basically the money that he was donating to charities, the highest receiver of it was a charity which was promoting the concept of evolution. So Jeffrey Epstein, this like multi-billionaire, where do we even start with this guy? Yeah, wicked, again, Synagogue of Satan member, was basically just shoving a load of money into an organisation that was basically promoting the Big Bang and nonsense, macroevolution and everything else theory. So, point being that these guys, look, they haven't stopped with that. So here they're in his face slandering him, but they'll just keep slandering God, slandering men of God through the media, through their news media. They even do it subtly as well, so a lot of it's subtle. They'll have the caricature mock-up, Christian in a lot of their movies. He'll either be the complete just wet blouse, the guy that everyone's just like, I don't want to be a Christian because these guys are kind of, the kind of C of E priest type, C of E vicar type one. Or instead they'll have like the dumb redneck guy that believes every word of God, what a clown and everything else. So it's this sort of thing and it's constantly trying to influence you. And ultimately it's just slandering God, slandering God's people, slandering the word of God. Back in 1 Thessalonians 2, we're going to get through these fairly quickly, said, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. The title is the Synagogue of Satan. Number one, the Synagogue of Satan persecute the brethren. Okay, and we're seeing, right now they're trying to push, obviously, in the US with certain preachers there, but around the world throughout history, look, men of God have been persecuted, okay, and ultimately by these people. Point number two is the Synagogue of Satan please not God. So it said they please not God. Hopefully this is going to be easy for you to remember with the P's. They persecute the brethren, they please not God. Now, many might look at these religious-looking Hasidic Jew types and think, wow, they're pretty holy people. I'd imagine most people out there are going to think, well, they're pretty holy. They're look a bit odd, but they must be really religious. They must be very zealous Jews and everything else. They're very strict, aren't they? Because they wear such silly outfits. Probably follow the Old Testament to the letter. Oh, yeah, I mean, they just don't quite have, this is what the majority will think, won't they? They don't have the Son. However, they've got the Old Testament. They're just very Old Testament-y type. If you wanted to know about the Old Testament, you'd be good to go to one of their rabbis, wouldn't you? Okay? But it's not the case, okay? They're the usual religious frauds. That's what they all are. Turn to Matthew 23, and I've been seeing loads of these guys around recently, okay? And that's kind of made me think about this for this sermon. Turn to Matthew 23, whilst I read Matthew 15:9. Matthew 15:9, will you turn to Matthew 23, says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Okay, so they teach for doctrines as if they're coming from God, the commandments that come from men. The average Synagogue of Satan member today is teaching and being taught a load of nonsense that has nothing to do with the Old Testament. Okay, so, for example, we covered this in a sermon, the washing of hands. And I mean, they've got all sorts of bizarre ways that they wash hands and do like one with this hand and one with the other, three times with that one, before you do this, after you touch this grain, but not after you touch that. I mean, absolute nonsense. Anyone see any of that in the Word of God? That is absolute nonsense. They've just taken a little bit about, some of the washings from the Old Testament and then just completely run with it into just these bizarre commandments of men. And it seems that the Talmud is absolutely full with this sort of stuff. Just weird, just sort of, what would you call it? Like, not even routine. It's basically like obsessive stuff, okay? Obsessive. That is a book to basically give you obsessive compulsive disorder. I mean, if there's any way to get someone to who maybe got a few like leanings that way, get him into Judaism, and I mean, they'll run away with that stuff, yeah? Because it is absolutely bizarre. But in Matthew 23, Jesus lets rip on the scribes and Pharisees, who are the religious leaders of basically what's now become Judaism. And he says this in verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Now, phylacteries were parchment with text on them. And there's a few sort of ideas. Some people say they used to wear them on the side of their eyes and stuff. I love that. It wouldn't surprise me if they did, right? So they like strap this thing with some like certain key texts from the Old Testament on the side of their face. So that they're, or maybe it might be in between their eyes so they can say it's like between the frontlets of their eyes, right? So they've just taken an overly literal interpretation to scripture, but some say it's stuff they strapped on their arms. Either way, it said they enlarged the borders of their garments, but it's all to be seen, isn't it? It's like having scripture on your head or on the side or on your arm, enlarging the borders of your garments. So basically trying to just wear those long flowing gowns and everything else. And that's exactly what you see today, isn't it? Those ridiculous holy outfits. Where's that in the Bible? The holy hat, some of those hats are amazing. It was telling me that they saw one of them had a rain cover for their furry hat. my wife saw that. So they actually had a cover over their furry hat to protect the fur. Yeah, what a rubbish hat. You've got to install something over the top of it. But it's not, you know, you've got furry hats, you've got wide top hats, you've got little yarmulkes, you've got all this stuff. None of it's biblical at all. It's to be seen of men. All of that stuff, the weird tassels coming off the bottom, the growing out your sideburns into these weird long curly things. I reckon some of them are stuck on though. They've got to be. So they don't have the discipline for that, I reckon. I don't know. But it's what's the point? It's all to be seen of men, isn't it? Special holy facial hair and all that stuff. And look, he said here, where you are, verse 6, he said, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. And he called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi, but be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, your brethren. So what do you make of a load of people calling themselves Rabbi? Definitely not godly. Definitely not godly. Even the so-called religious ones, please, not godly. Look, we could go to town, couldn't we, on all these people that claim to be Jews, yeah? But even these guys that you look at, you go, they must be religious. They've even got the holy outfit. They've got the holy hats. They're not. They're just religious frauds. It's just to be seen of men. They just want everyone to look at them and go, how holy you are. So wait, because you kind of look at them and you think, oh, can you imagine walking down a road like that? Bold as well. A lot of the time they're cycling like very, very old looking bicycles, yeah? You're like, you've got more money than that, come on. Usually it's like, they're like rickety old things and they're like wobbling around. They're cycling down the road with the top hat and the flowing black cape behind them. But they actually are thinking, in their mind, they're thinking, looking holy. Looking pious on the bicycle, yeah? I'm looking good, yeah? People are looking at me going, ah, that is a man that knows the Torah and the Babylonian Talmud. That's what they think, don't they? But the reality is, they're not pleasing God at all. They're doing the complete opposite. God hates that stuff. He hates it when you're trying to be seen of men, when you're doing stuff to be, he hates that. Okay, because that's not what it's about. It said back where we were, saw in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15, it says, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. So the title is Synagogue of Satan. Point number one, Synagogue of Satan persecute the brethren. That continues to this day, okay? In one way or another, a lot of it's a lot more subtle the way they do it now. Point number two, the Synagogue of Satan please not God, okay? Look, and that's even the most religious type of them do not please God, believe me, let alone when you go into the wickedness going on with a lot of these people. Point number three, the Synagogue of Satan pollute all around. They pollute everyone around them. He said here, they are contrary to all men. Okay, that contrary means they're adverse, contradictory, they're in opposition to everyone. It's not just the Bible believing Christian, they pollute everyone. Think of all the filth and smut that they produce. Okay, the Hollywood movie industry, I mean, that was signed up a long time ago, these guys. The whole porn industry, it's all Jews. Okay, it's all the Synagogue of Satan. It's all the same people behind all this filth, all this smut, all this just wicked brain. All the early feminists, every single one of them, Synagogue of Satan. Every one of them. All the early feminists, so-called pioneers of it all, they've been doing a number on people for years, and it's not just on Christians. They pollute those around them. They're contrary to all men. Turn to Acts 17, which gives us an example of them negatively influencing and affecting those around them. Popular culture. It's the synagogue of Satan pushing and promoting it. All this stuff that we preach about so often, the wickedness, the filth, the corruption, all of this stuff, it's the same mob behind it all. And anyone who doubts that is either an idiot or they just are denying just clear facts out there. Okay, it's just clear as day. Acts 17 and verse 1 says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Jesus Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed." Okay, great. They're the ones that really are in God's eyes Jews. "And consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people." So they stirred up the lowest of the low. Yeah, basically, these are like the Sodomite protesters. The baser sort is like just the lowest types of society. These are like the tranny protesters you see outside churches, yeah? They were stirred up by these people. And who do you think's behind that stuff now? Who do you think's stirring them up? Who do you think is pushing and promoting the hatred of anyone that's preaching against this stuff? You know, when they say, you know, outcry over this or anger, that's the media just telling you that's how you should be feeling. And who's behind the media doing all that? It's the same people. Back to the synagogue of Satan again. It's all the same mob. And they took under them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. I mean, again, nothing new, is there, under the sun. Verse 6, it says, "And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." So they're influencing rulers. They're basically pushing for some sort of law changes. All of that stuff. And again, it's the lying media that we see now doing it, don't we? Here we see it on a smaller scale. Verse 8, "And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things." And it does trouble people, doesn't it? All their pushing, all their negative influence, all the way they try and promote wickedness, filth, smut, all this stuff, it troubles people, doesn't it? Okay, when they're seeing all these gangs of sodomites marching down the street calling it a pride festival, it influences people to then be scared to speak out, to be scared to just react and respond normally to this stuff. They're constantly troubling the people. Okay, they're contrary to all men, we saw. Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, it said, "Who both killed the Lord Jesus and our own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men." Then verse 16 says, "Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sin alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost." The title is Synagogue of Satan. Number one, the synagogue of Satan persecute the brethren. Number two, the synagogue of Satan please not God. Number three, the synagogue of Satan pollute all around. And number four, the synagogue of Satan prevent the gospel. The synagogue of Satan prevent the gospel. He said, "Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved." This is a strong theme in the book of Acts, trying to prevent the gospel going to the Gentiles, okay? That's what their goal is. And what's messed up is it seems here, when you look at 1 Thessalonians 2, that they're trying to stop the Gentiles being saved. They're aware that the gospel's saving. It says, "Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved." Now, you could go, "Oh, well, they're just trying to forbid them, speak to them, but, you know, therefore it's stopping them getting saved." But I don't know. It looks to me like they know that the Gentiles are getting saved, aren't they? That's why they're forbidding them. Because there are those that, look, there are different types of false prophets, different types of reprobates out there, but there are those that know full well that the gospel's real. They're unable to put their trust in it. They know what it is, and they try and prevent people hearing it. They try and stop people getting saved. And that's what they're doing here. Turn to Acts 14, where we see the way that I believe it is done often nowadays. So Acts chapter 14. How do they forbid us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved? Well, Acts 14 says in verse 1, "And it came to pass in Iconium," this is Acts 14 and verse 1, that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude both of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. That's what we see nowadays, I believe. So stirring up the unbelievers and making their minds evil against the Bible, for example, constantly discrediting, attacking, mocking, casting doubt on the word of God, etc. Soul winners, they like to just act like we're some sort of nutters, like we're ramming it down people's throats. Well, you know, happy to have respect for religion as long as you're not pushing it on people. That sort of stuff, that sort of thing that you see out there, that's getting pushed out there. Biblical principles. So just biblical marriages, biblical parenting, biblical just ways of living, etc. Mock, scorn, just it's a joke in their mainstream media, isn't it? Constantly attacked one way or another. The just mocking of us in general, mocking of just Bible-believing Christians, mocking of the father figure a lot is a big one, isn't it, as well, to destroy families. The father figure's a joke, he's a laughing stock and everything else. And then obviously we see then the way they make just people angry at God in one way or another as well. And it's constant again being pushed and promoted, this sort of, you know, I can't believe God, you know, would do this, do that. You get like, they give a lot of airtime to people like Stephen Fry and other wicked, just blasphemous, pervert devils out there to just basically constantly be attacked. God, Richard Dawkins, these sort of things. These people get far too much time in the mainstream media, don't they? These God haters get far too much time, as in they get more than zero time, yeah? But these guys, they like pushing these guys, promoting, giving them airtime for their views, because it influences people, doesn't it? And it makes their minds evil effect against the brethren. The result is, therefore, that they then are less likely to hear the gospel, less likely to hear the word of God, less likely to receive someone coming to them with the gospel. They want to forbid us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. And they use their manipulation for that. Verse 3 says, long time therefore, because this is what Paul and Barnabas do, they just work harder. So just pause for a second. And that's what's going on today, isn't it? So what do we do? Do we go, okay, we better just don't get out. Let's just hope some might come to us. No. Long time therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. The result is we need to be bolder. And we need to spend longer getting the gospel out to people. Which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Okay, so because they spent their time, they spoke boldly in the Lord. That gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully into stones. So they got them worked up enough, didn't they? They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. Okay, so they carried on preaching, but these guys, look, they'll keep going with this as well. They'll keep pushing and trying to basically discredit the word of God to forbid then us to speak to the Gentiles. Back in 1 Thessalonians 2. Still in verse 15, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God on the contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for their wrath is come upon them to the utmost. So the title is the Synagogue of Satan. I went for peace today. The Synagogue of Satan persecute the brethren. The Synagogue of Satan please not God. The Synagogue of Satan pollute all around. The Synagogue of Satan prevent the gospel. And point number 5, the Synagogue of Satan will be punished. The Synagogue of Satan will be punished. It said in verse 16, because this could be a bit of a depressing sermon otherwise, couldn't it? But it said, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, fill up the sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Is there much could you be much more sinful than preventing people getting saved? You ever thought about that? I think there's some wicked sins out there, aren't there? I mean, there are some horrendous sins out there. But trying to prevent someone from getting saved, that's got to be up there, hasn't it? I mean, that's ultimate. And think about those people, because we've all come across them. If you've been soul winning any length of time, you'll have had people who have literally just come and ripped someone away from the door, pulled away their child, their wife, often pulled away their husband. That seems to be a lot of the time when they're hiding behind their wife's skirt, and then suddenly they manage to break out for 5 minutes, but it's not quite long enough, and they get like dragged back in and probably given a beating afterwards. Yeah, how pathetic is that when you see that happen? He doesn't want to talk to you. You're like, funny, that's been talking for 10 minutes to me. Oh, I better go. You're like, what on earth, you absolute, just what a loser. And you kind of think, well, if that was your last chance, you know, well, I don't want to go, you deserved it. But you do think, look, what a shame, isn't it, when it comes to that. But look, here's the thing is that it can feel disappointing, this. You can see all of this, but they're preventing people getting saved. Okay, that is a serious, serious sin. Okay, and that's their goal. That's what they're doing. They're trying to discredit God. They're trying to discredit the real God of the Bible. They're trying to do it in many, many ways. And that's why the wrath has come upon them to the utmost. He said, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. That's the lowest depths of hell for these devils, isn't it? It really is. It's the lowest depths of hell. When you see these guys, look, I know, look, and just, you have to caveat this point here, okay? And you know, something that we should do, and just remind people, because not everyone kind of maybe gets this, look, if someone goes to some city, someone calls themselves a Jew, it doesn't mean that they are some reprobate, Christ-hating, you know, devil, okay? However, a lot of them are, okay? But it doesn't mean they all are. And if someone, look, we want to get people saved, yeah? If you know, God willing, some of these guys with their curly tassels and everything else actually wanted to hear the gospel, amen, I'll preach them the gospel, yeah? I'll preach them the gospel. I'll spend the time like Paul and Barnabas did and try and get these people saved. And I hope everyone else here would do the same. However, the reality of it is that when it comes to their rabbis, when it comes to their false prophets, and sadly, when it comes to what seems to be a large amount of them, they're not only so hardened to the gospel, I think so many of these guys are given over. Because, I mean, this is a different flavour of religion, this. I mean, this is a religion which completely blasphemes the Lord Jesus Christ. Their holy book calls him all sorts of things, says that he is a devil, that he has a devil. And by the way, you start saying that Jesus Christ is a devil or has a devil, okay, you're done. Okay, that's a reprobate causer. Okay, that's you done, or at least you need to be a reprobate to be able to say that. Which way around it is, it's somewhere in the middle probably, right? Okay, and there's a lot of those guys like that, okay? And that's why they're not just another false religion, they're the synagogue of Satan. And then with that, they have such influence on the world, sadly as well, these people. Well, let's see about this wrath though. Go back to where we started, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2 and verse 8. And the Bible says this, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil, okay, so remember, they're the synagogue of Satan, and the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Sounds like they were getting persecuted as well by the same people, yeah? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. How do you overcome? Well, 1 John 5:5 says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Okay, that's how you overcome the world. He's saying, don't worry, you're gonna get out of the lake of fire, okay? You won't be in the lake of fire like these guys. Unlike these Christ rejectors, okay? Turn over to the next chapter to see how the tables will be turned, though. So here in the next chapter, he's addressing the church at Philadelphia and says this in Revelation 3 and verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Okay, so at some point, it seems they're going to be worshiping before at least the believers hear his feet. I don't know if that's in their lifetime there was something that's going to happen, or if he's talking about eternally. I'm not sure, because, you know, it is going to be immediate hell, and then eventually it's going to be the lake of fire. I don't know what might happen on judgment day there, but I know where they're going to end up. Turn to Matthew 8. Because it is eventually the lake of fire. And in Matthew 8, Jesus just heard the great faith of the centurion. We went through this story recently. So the centurion kind of displays this great faith, a faith that he hasn't seen in all of Israel. He says in verse 10, Matthew 8 and verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Who's he talking about here? That's those that were Jews, that were the physical nation, and now are those that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And he said, there shall be weeping, gnash your teeth. And that's a lake of fire, by the way, out of darkness. And that's a very real place. And how clear is the Bible about these people? It's pretty clear, isn't it? And again, there's many more verses that you could go to. They're just, for me, some very clear ones that I wanted to preach from. These Christ rejecters, those that say they're Jews and are not. It's clear as day, isn't it? Yeah, I bet everyone here, or many people who have been in churches, whether they're false churches or not, that have claimed the complete opposite. I mean, how wrong must you be? And here's the thing with that, okay? Look, this isn't right. If you believe as a pastor and a Bible teacher, and somehow you've been hoodwinked, and maybe your pride, your ego, maybe your circles, look, it's wicked, okay? You should be man enough to just say, I've been wrong about this, okay? If you should really read the Bible for what it says. But, okay, look, it doesn't mean that person's unsaved. It doesn't mean they must be a false prophet because they're wrong about this. However, something I thought about a while back, when I was in a church where this stuff was preached every single week, I think for the benefit of a couple of us that are in the church, and the guy thought, I've got to somehow convince them that the Jews are God's chosen people, yeah? And how in the spirit do you think he was in those sermons, if that guy was saved? I'll tell you what, he wasn't in the spirit, because the Holy Spirit leads you into all truth. So if he's preaching just completely false unbiblical messages like that, I mean, that's like a write-off sermon, really, isn't it? You might as well just read your Bible, because the Holy Spirit's not teaching you anything. And then when these guys get obsessed and get on some sort of just, you know, go down this sort of rabbit hole with this stuff, I mean, you can talk like, sometimes like week after week, you're just, oh man, like, how can you be so wrong? So wrong. Now, the reality is that some of these guys are just, they are just unsaved. They don't understand the Bible. They just rehash what they've been taught. Some of it is correct, some of it's not. But like I said, some of these guys are saved. And they won't stand up and just say what the Bible says. And that's a sad state of affairs, isn't it? Now, you can put up with a church where it's once every now and again. You can put up with some dud preaching. And look, if you don't have a church, you're better to be in a church than out of a church, as long as it is a church. However, it's frustrating, isn't it? Isn't that vexing when you hear this sort of stuff? Because it is, it's blasphemy. It's blasphemy. These people are wicked, Christ-rejecting, God-haters. They're prophets are God-haters. That, sadly, it's a religion where a large... Anyone get many Jews saved, by the way? Doesn't really happen, does it? There's a lot around. Don't seem to get them saved, do we? Because they're so hard-hearted to it. Because a lot of them are already, I believe, rejected. That's a curse, isn't it? Because that religion is teaching you some pretty wicked stuff from very early on, isn't it? And look, I know there are other religions. I know in general when people are into a religion, it's hard. But I would say even the guys that aren't. So I've come across quite a few over the years that will say, yeah, I'm what they call a Jew. They're not really a worshiper. They're not like in all the silly outfit. But they still don't want to hear the gospel, do they? I mean, it's a sad state of affairs. However, if they want to hear the gospel, we want to preach in the gospel. And we're about to move to an area where it seems that the synagogue of Satan is up the road. In fact, I'll be honest, we're moving to an area which there's a stronghold there, okay? There's a lot. We're going to war, okay? Honestly, we're going to spiritual war there. But God's putting us there for a reason. And I think we're now ready for it. I think we've strengthened up. I think we've purged as well over that time as well. Okay, and we have a strong group of people that are about to go into an area. And when I say go to battle, I don't mean physical. So if any of you are thinking, I don't know about this. Not quite so sure. I wasn't really up for that. I just wanted to come to church and sing some hymns. but the reality of it is we are going to a spiritual battle there. And we're about to march into an area where there's a synagogue of Satan up the road. I mean, there's a mosque around the corner with, I mean, every Friday it's like a girl's pyjama party. They've got pyjamas and nighties, okay? They go double on it, okay? It's bizarre, okay? There's all sorts of like full-on just open reprobates walking up and down. There's all that stuff, and Shore Foundation Baptist Church is about to go planted in the middle of it, yeah? And we're going to plant there, we're going to preach the whole counsel of God there, and we're going to get out and we're going to get people saved, we're going to change that area, right? Okay, and God's put us there for a reason. And do you know the truth is, though, with all those people, there's going to be receptive people there as well. That's the reality. We're going to make a difference there. We're going to get people saved there. And however, we're going to come across some of these guys. And when we come across these guys, we're still going to offer them the gospel, aren't we? Okay, we're still going to try and preach the gospel. Obviously, if he says, hi, I'm Rabbi, whatever, then I'm not going to offer him the gospel. But for everyone else, I want to offer them the gospel, yeah? And we need to be prepared that we're going to be coming across these guys. However, the reality of these people is, like I said, they're the synagogue of Satan. And number one, the synagogue of Satan persecute the brethren. Okay, be prepared for that. I'm not saying they're going to all start giving you a shoeing. To be honest, by the looks of most of them, I don't think they could give much a shoeing. But you know what they are going to do? They're going to try and make you feel rubbish about yourself. They're going to try and mock you. I get eyeballed by them every time I drive. I get eyeballed by the young kids. I like driving in there, and I seem to always go past them on the way in, and they're just looking at me like this. I don't know if they've already got the devils from young now. I don't know, but it's weird. They persecute the brethren. Number two, the synagogue of Satan, please not God. Okay, don't be fooled by these people. And again, you might think, look, of course not bothering, but you'd be surprised. That brainwash is strong out there, isn't it? There's a lot of that trying to tell people they're these holy people. They just have the Father, not the Son. Don't be fooled. They please not God. The synagogue of Satan pollute all around. Okay, look, the reality of it as well, you need to be obviously careful with your kids and everything else around these sorts of places with these people, because look, it's not going to be safe. Number four, the synagogue of Satan prevent the gospel. It is safe if you're in the will of God, though, but part of that is being a good parent. Synagogue of Satan prevent the gospel, okay? They're going to try, look, we might get some grief off them with time, maybe try and, push for us being banned from going out door knocking or something. I don't know. We'll see something happen with that. But at least they do it through their influence. And number five, the synagogue of Satan will be punished. They will be punished. So take solace in that there's this physical life and then there's eternity to come, yeah? And if you've overcome, you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to spend that time in heaven, right? And what a great place that's going to be. And in the meantime, let's get some more people saved. So on that, we're going to finish in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for, thank you that we are, the children of Abraham through faith, Lord, that we are now that spiritual Israel, Lord. We are your people. We are your nation. You've broken down that middle wall of partition, and it's all through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. All those promises in the Bible are ours here, all of us here that have faith in you, Lord, that we can just receive all those promises, all those blessings. We thank you for that, Lord. Help us to not have our heads turned by all this false doctrine out there, and help us to not only get people saved, but also to teach people the truth, to help people to see through all the lies out there, Lord, and to also be able to claim those promises, to be able to understand the word of God. Help us to get out this week, today, this afternoon, get many people saved. Help us to return for this evening service. In Jesus' name, pray all this. Amen.